Hello, Cospodders. Welcome to episode 24, on the 24th, no less, of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay. But you didn't know that, huh?
24.
Yeah, it's 24. We're recording this on November 24th, so 24 on 24.
That was a good show.
Hopefully we can be a fraction as good. As they are.
No one could be as awesome as Jack Bauer.
They've also got a massive budget and a studio and really good actors and stuff we don't have.
Yeah.
But at any rate, we have been monstrously busy, but I would like to start off by saying for those who have celebrated Thanksgiving since our last show, we say happy Thanksgiving to all of you around the world, because I know it's not just the U.S. that has Thanksgiving.
Happy Dead Turkey Day.
Well, we didn't even have Dead Turkey, I'll have you know.
Yeah, we didn't either.
That's a long story for another time. But it was Happy Stuff Yourself Full of Food Day, and then feel guilty the next day.
Ours was Happy Pizza Day.
That works too.
Yeah, why not?
But at any rate, now that Thanksgiving is over and Black Friday is over, for those who don't know, Black Friday is crazy shopping day here in the U.S., we're back to costuming. That was pretty much our vacation. We had a day. Maybe another half day. Day and a half.
Day and a half, yeah.
And now life has come back to bite us in the tush, so.
So tired. So very tired.
But we've got lots of good content for you today. Today's kind of a Val-centric episode, since the last one was a bit me-centric. So I got a break this time. So
Val,
what do you have on the plate?
Always just about you and what you want.
Hey, when I started this podcast, I didn't even want to be on camera. I'll have you know I wanted to be the one filming this.
And guess what happened?
But at any rate, what do you have on the agenda for today?
On the agenda, the first thing we're going to cover is, actually, I want to start off by saying thank you to the people who made these suggestions on Facebook, because that's one of the reasons why I filmed all this stuff. First one's going to be making molds for resin casting, and then how to attach wax to wigs. Good stuff.
Both of which are incredibly useful things for cosplayers to know how to do.
And very time-consuming.
That too, but it's also, I know that resin casting is kind of weather dependent.
Yeah. So it's kind of nice right now. So
exactly. We've had some good weather this past week, at least as far as resin casting goes.
Mm-hmm.
Except for at night when we freeze.
We freeze to death.
Yeah. Yeah, I still haven't had to turn on my heater yet, which is kind of fantastic.
You'll be fine.
Huh?
You'll be fine for a while. I'm sure you'll be okay.
I will probably never have to use my heater this winter, period, unless it hits like 16 degrees.
See, for
and
me,
even then.
It's weird because where my heating unit sits in my current bedroom in the house, it sits right up above me, so you'd think I would get most of the ventilation. I don't. So while the rest of the house is really, really hot and warm, I'm freezing. And when I'm hot, the rest of the house is cold. It sucks. My fan is on 365 days a year because this is the only way I can get air circulation.
My old apartment was like that.
Sucks.
Now it seems like every morning at about 10 o'clock, I have to bust open both my windows to get air circulation in the apartment, which I guess it's a good thing that my windows face south because the wind in Texas 90% of the time is coming out of the south.
Yep.
So at least I get, you know, the circulation going in my apartment so that it's not quite so stifling. And I'm wondering how I'm going to try on some of my cosplay and not sweat to death in it, because that's kind of gross and disgusting. But
yeah, fun
we will we will be doing cosplay updates here momentarily. But first, there will be wefting of wigs. We'll be right back. And welcome back. You guys missed the whole crappy segue self-beating that I gave myself.
The part that's just been edited out. Yay!
Yes. Unfortunately, my brain is elsewhere at the moment, and yours is too, to the best of my knowledge. So since you have a pile of purple organza sitting next to you, why don't you talk about what you've been doing cosplay?
I know. I wish I had the ability to pick up my camera and actually turn it over properly so you could see this. But like on my floor right now, I have this giant white, probably about 2 yards of organza, a pretty nice long chunk of it, and I'm doing a gradient dye into purple, and it's turning out really nicely. It's really, really cool. I just think the name of the color is ridiculous. It's called Purple Cow, which, you know what it reminds me of? There's a story that I heard about bees in France who've gotten to this giant M&M pile, so now the honey is coming out in like these blue and red colors. She's laughing because I read this on CNN, and that's kind of what this looks like. It's like if a purple cow kind of ate a bunch of M&Ms and then turned purple. That's what it looks like.
I want to say that there is a restaurant in Plano called the Purple Cow, I think.
There is a Halloween store that is called Purple Cow. It's called
So
Purple Cow Halloween.
it's not altogether that unusual.
No, it's not unusual, but it's still weird.
So what are you doing with this organza that you are dyeing purple cow colors?
It's going to be pieces of a belt for Celeste from Final Fantasy VI. And if anybody who knows anything about Amano's artwork, it's one of those. So it's like lots of belts and lots of color and lots of gradient dyeing and lots of beads. So my room is this nice glittery beaded mess.
Is that the only thing you're working on?
Yeah, right now. That's the only thing. I've got my other projects done for the month. I'm going on a month-by-month basis because I have so much to do. I know you probably have a lot to do too in your short time frame.
Well, I'm actually kind of taking it easy.
Oh, you
But
suck.
consider that I have final exams coming up in 3 weeks.
Ah.
More like 2 weeks now, so it's not like I can sit here and do nothing but cosplay and not study. So yeah, I have my drafting table next to me right there.
I know she can move her camera, so it's fine. You can actually see what she's
Yoink.
doing.
Yep. See, this is my drafting table right here next to me. And you see, I have lots of pattern pieces and templates and my dressmaker's ruler and all sorts of things because I am, in fact, working on my first cosplay for next year. Yay!
Woo.
Yeah, I'm working on Lady Sif from the movie Thor, the 2011 version, for Alcon, which is in March, so I have time.
You got plenty of time.
Sometime. Well, bear in mind that also during that same time, not only will I be back to symphony concerts, but I have to start my Akon cosplay, and I also have to do my Akon panel stuff. So it's not like I will be, sitting back, living a life of luxury, not doing anything besides this. And I'm finding that, it's really hard, just as a cost philosophy sort of thing, to do patterns for yourself when your proportions are very, very different from the actors. And the proportions on the costume will not work on your own body proportions. Like, I'm finding that having a low bust is a very, very big problem when you're wearing abdominal armor because now the proportions are all screwed up. And it's driving me absolutely bonkers as I'm sitting here trying to draft this pattern, and I have this nice clicky eraser that I keep having to use constantly as I keep drawing lines over and over and over again. But French rulers are your friend, and I have a nice set of French rulers now. For those who don't know, I will grab one real quick. French rulers are just rulers with curves on them.
Which makes drafting patterns a lot easier.
Yes. Whoops, I got it caught around my foot. These are French curves in my hand. You see, they're all just curvy little ruler things. And they all have different kinds of curves and different sizes of curves. And they've got little inner curves too, if you want to use those. And there's usually four or five of them in a set, as you can see. And these are actually not found in the sewing section of stores.
Nope.
These are found in the fine arts section of stores because they're used for artists in drafting. So if you ever want a set of French rulers for dressmaking, you have to go find the fine arts section. And even then, not all hobby stores even carry them.
Yeah.
Which is why it took me 3 months to find them. But now that I have them, they're a huge, huge help when drawing curves, when I'm trying to draw nice, even curves. I'm not a very good at freehanding. I draw stick figures. That's the freehanding I do. So.
Yay, stick figures! You're awesome.
And I've actually, speaking of other projects, my drafting book, I have started drafting one of my Akon costumes, my Heirs of Scarlet costume. So I've already done all my construction notes and everything on it. So I am well on my way to patterning everything out, which is the part that takes me the longest. Mostly, I feel like I'm
kind of cheating the system because I've already made, like, all of my patterns have been made for previous costumes. I just have to tweak them ever so slightly.
Mine are almost always different.
So I'm just like, I don't know. It feels weird. This is like the first time I haven't had to make any patterns.
Usually I don't even bother to make patterns. Usually I just, you know, take commercial patterns and use those and just kind of choose one that's close to what I want and then just modify it slightly. But now that I've gotten into custom fitting and making patterns for my own personal measurements so that the costume actually does fit, it takes me a lot longer.
Yes, it does. I know it sucks, but it is worth it in the end. I promise you, it really is.
I'm sure it is. I'm just wondering where the heck I'm supposed to store all of these pattern pieces when I'm done with them. Because none of my costumes use the same pattern pieces, ever. They're all different. So it's not like I can sit here and go, please again.
What are you making them out of?
For the moment, my master pattern pieces that I use for the blouses and the sleeves and the collars are on craft paper. Okay. But I make my patterns on drafting paper.
Okay.
So it's the real kind of flimsy, I mean, you can go into Joann's in the kids section and buy rolls of drafting paper.
Okay, yeah.
That's what I've put them on.
Well, I don't have good storage tips for you then. Because what I do is I've been doing mine either on, I've been doing a lot of mine on freezer paper because I can easily fold it and I can store it into a Ziploc bag. And when I need to use it again, I just unfold it and iron it and it's just completely straight again.
Technically, I can do that with what I'm doing right now with my
patterns.
I hate folding my pattern pieces. It drives me bonkers to have to fold my pattern pieces because not only do you get a giant fold in the middle, which you can never iron out again. I mean, yeah, you can make the pattern flat, but the fold never goes away. But also that puts structural stress on the paper. And if you do it enough times, if you fold it back up enough times, you'll eventually tear the paper. And that's kind of what I'm afraid of with my patterns. So I kind of half roll them and throw them in paper boxes for right now. And I have a lot of patterns in paper boxes.
I don't have that luxury. I have to fold them. I don't really have the space for the paper boxes. So take it.
That's all that's in my closet. All I have in my closet are paper boxes. And under my bed. And in my laundry closet thing. I have boxes everywhere, and not a drop of storage space.
Yay.
But I finished my curtains. Yay!
Yay!
And in fact, very fun. I just finished the tiebacks for them this morning, so now I just have to mount screws in the wall. I know that's not cosplay related, but that was the thing stopping me from doing anything cosplay related.
Well, wait, we did our entire shopping trip based on this. So you know what? It is cosplay related.
Yeah.
I bought cosplay materials that day, too.
I figured out how to take out the blinds from their mountings. So now I'm going to stick a rod in there so I can put my blackout curtains up there.
Okay.
Plus, it helps. I've noticed that the neighbors like to peek in my window. And I feel very self-conscious when I'm sitting there measuring myself, especially around the bust area with my dressmaker's tape.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, I'm not doing anything kinky. I'm measuring myself to make clothing and costumes. And I think I would feel less self-conscious if I had my blackout curtain on. I'm not that much of a weirdo. That much.
That much. We're all a little weird. I mean, we can't be normal. We dress up for fun.
Oh, heavens, if they walked in my apartment, they'd see that my cosplay wall is lined with weapons. I'm totally not weird.
If someone comes in here, they're going to see my lightsaber, so you know what?
At any rate, why don't we move on to another tutorial?
Hey guys, Valerie here, and I'm going to show you guys how to make a very simple mold for casting gems, jewelry, buttons, things of that nature. And this is after a request that we received on our Facebook page, so I felt like, oh, this would be a good time. Finally got all my casting equipment in, so we're able to make this one happen. This particular method is going to be using a silicone putty, which I will show you here. This is just one brand. But this is actually really easy to find. You can find it in Hobby Lobby. You can buy this online through Amazon.com. Roughly in the 15 to 30 range, depending on where you buy it. But it's really, really easy to use, and it's great for small items. So this particular method is meant for small projects. If you want to do some of the larger items, like, I don't know, make your own Pit Boy out of resin or acrylic, you'll want to make an actual box mold. And I'm going to put a link up right now to a website that walks you through how to do that. It goes from the entire process of making your original item and then slicing up the mold and making your own box for the mold. But this one is meant to be really simple and really easy. There are a couple other different types of molds that are available. There are the plastic molds that you can get at most hobby stores. And as you can see, the top would be the flat back, but then the bottom of it has some ridges and whatnot, so that way the side of the gem that is facing outwards looks like it's supposed to. With these type of molds, you need a release agent, otherwise the acrylic and the resin can get stuck in very weird places, especially in a place like Texas where you have a lot of heat and humidity and things like to get stuck. You can probably see right there I had fun pulling one of them out and scratching my mold to pieces. But this mold in particular is a silicone mold, which you can see is very flexible. And very purple. Silicone molds, you don't need a releasing agent 99.99% of the time. But they're really easy to use, they're washable, they last for quite some time. I think I've made this mold nearly a year ago, and I mean, I still use the diamond imprint constantly. But if you don't feel adventurous enough to make your own mold, you might want to check out the cooking aisle in your hobby stores, because they do make silicone molds as well for random baking accessories, things from like little teddy bears and Christmas trees and whatnot, so that could be another option as well. So for this particular one, I'm going to be using the silicone putty made by Easy Mold, because this is probably the most easily accessible of all of the putty materials that are out there. You can get the more fancy or expensive ones, but they come in a liquid form and they take a lot more time to cure. This is really great if you need to get something done fast, but still have it look nice and pretty and professional. So basically it comes in these two containers, a white container and a purple container. Very similar to resin casting, where you have one bottle and another bottle. And you basically mix the two together to make your putty, and then you stick your item into it. In this case, I'm going to be using one side of a clay mold that I made, and you can use other things too, but I needed something about yay size with a flat back, with a slightly rounded surface. Kind of difficult to find in a normal mold, so I have to make my own. Now, like resin casting, when you mix the two items together, they start to form the bond and they get hard really, really quickly. So in the case of the Easy Mold stuff, you only have a 3-minute work time. Once these two are joined together and you need them, you only have 3 minutes to work with it. So it's best to have everything already prepared before you start sticking stuff together. In this case, The only items that I have are the putty itself, the object that I'm going to stick the putty into. I have a bit of wax paper. This is where I'm going to stick my mold as it's softening, hardening, so it's easier to pull off when it's done. Otherwise, you get this, if you stick it like on a paper towel, this could happen, because Valerie forgot. And then I always like to have a wet paper towel with me just so I can clean off some of the extra stuff, because as you can see, I'm starting to get little pieces stuck to my fingers. So, the 3-minute cure time before it starts hardening and becomes no longer useful. You take purple, you take white, and you squish them together and you start kneading them really fast. Now, it says to knead them until they become one color, which is basically going to be a lighter purple. And I'm going to be working really, really fast. You can kind of see what my technique is. I'm basically just folding it over and over and over into each other. And you are going to have some white spots too. I'm all about making sure this is done. And then what I like to do afterwards, when everything is kneaded, I'll roll it into a ball so it looks something like this. Time to get the wax paper out. Take the item that you're going to need molding and press down. That's it. Really, it's that simple. And then what I'll like to do afterwards is I'll take the rest of the mold items, try to push it up. So that way, when I'm casting it, resin doesn't start spilling and spewing over the sides, and it actually makes the tops a lot flatter and easier to work with. Plus, this is a good time to make sure that you don't have any weird cuts or holes down here, because sometimes people will press too hard, the putty will expand, and you'll start getting holes in the bottom, which kind of defeats the purpose of casting this. Then, that's it. You're done. That's it. It's really that simple, and that it's that easy to make. You just let it sit there and rest. It takes roughly 20 minutes for everything to be completely hardened. I like to give it a good hour for some of the more detailed pieces, and I can show you what one of the final pieces look like. See, paper towel comes in handy. So for something like this, as you can kind of see, very, very detailed item. I left this in for about an hour just to make sure it got all of these weird little crevices and such. And even still, some of the silicone actually peeled and stuck to the clay. But my final cast looks something like this, which mimics the bottom of this. Yes, this is a Renewzit air freshener, by the way. I saw the bottom of it and I thought, oh, that would be a really cool cog piece. I'm sure I could have some use for that later. So I made one. Now for something where it's more of a circular piece, like this, it pops up really, really fast. And this probably only took 15 minutes to dry. And as you can see, the inside is nice and smooth, no weird bubbles, no weird blemishes, and even better, because I use, this is part of the reason why you make it so large. I know the item here, let me move this closer, all of the clay and the putty is much bigger than my original cast. It really helps when it comes to making your mold, because now you have a flat bottom. You don't have to worry about weird tipping or shifting or shaping, like in this case. Most other molds would probably tip over like this after a period of time, but because I made so much of this, the bottom is pretty flat and pretty sturdy, so I'm not concerned about weird shifting going on. Now for these type of molds, I would probably not pick an item that is bigger than the palm of your hand. This is about as big as I'm willing to go. Anything larger than this, I would look into making a box mold. And like I said, this is really great for buttons and jewelry pieces that you need to put on armor, things of that nature. But in about 20 minutes, that'll be done, and we'll be ready to use it for resin casting.
And we're back. Welcome back. What?
I'm trying to not laugh. It's not working.
You wouldn't be the first person to laugh at me, so I laugh at myself. You know, you can't have any fun in life if you can't laugh at yourself.
If you can't laugh at yourself, then you're doing it wrong.
Yeah. And I make it very easy to laugh at myself, and I know that, which is fine. And I know we're recording this after Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for us was 2 days ago here in the States, but we thought it would be good for us to give cosplay-related thanks for our cosplay successes that we've had. So
I like what you quoted, air quotes.
I found it a success that I did not, in fact, burn down my kitchen when I did a burn test or set off my smoke detector. So, frankly, that is a success, even though it didn't really involve succeeding at anything besides not doing something.
And
so
I'm thankful.
That's what I mean by success.
I'm thankful for once again that Amber did not successfully burn down her apartment.
Okay. I have to tell
like every week now.
I have to tell the background on this. Okay.
Well, like,
well, the first time was the heat gun, and I didn't.
You're playing with fire. And this is not going well.
The heat gun did not get hot enough to light anything on fire, for one. And for two, somebody was asking about what the burn test was. And for listeners who don't know, the burn test is where you take a tiny scrap of fabric, like 1 inch square, and you take it somewhere safe, like the kitchen sink, and you light it on fire to see what it does, because fabric has certain characteristics depending on the kind of fabric it is. It will burn a certain way, it will smell a certain way, it will have a certain color ash, and it will react to the flame in different ways. So if you have an unknown piece of fabric that you have no clue what the heck it is, you do the burn test. And a lot of different fabric companies have little charts that tell you, you know, this fabric should, you know, react like this, smell like this. It'll have a hard bead on it, or it'll crumble into ash. It'll have gray ash, it'll have black ash, whatever. And somebody on one of the forums that I frequent wanted to know what blends do, because all the charts have all what the pure stuff does, 100% cotton, 100% polyester, 100% satin. None of the charts have what you should expect to see from a blend, like 60-40 polyester cotton, broadcloth, basically. So I went into the kitchen for the sake of science and cosplay, and I lit a square of broadcloth on fire to see what it would do. And I put the results up on our Facebook page in case anybody is curious as to what blends actually do when you light them on fire. Yes, I was careful. I took safety precautions. I have fire extinguishing materials in my kitchen. The only problem is that my smoke detector is right there, right outside my kitchen. So if I wasn't careful with the smoke that was coming off the fabric, which it does smoke, then I was going to set off my smoke detector, which is not pleasant. And so, no, I have not, in fact, lit any part of my apartment on fire. I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about setting off the smoke detector, which I am thankful that I did not do. And I am thankful that the burn test was also successful in it, that I did not ruin the tweezers I was using to hold the fabric, because the burn test will blacken whatever you're using to hold the fabric. And incidentally, I'm also grateful that the dinner I made that night did not smell like the burning broadcloth, because that was one of the most disgusting things I have ever smelled next to skunk.
Yeah, broadcloth does not smell fabulous. It smells horrible.
Not when burning, no.
Not when burning, no. You can smell the polyester.
Just a little bit. So, so something else you're thankful for besides me not burning down my apartment?
I'm thankful that you didn't also burn down your kitchen or freak out your neighbors.
No, I think I've already freaked out my neighbors.
Your neighbors are probably thinking, man, this girl's only been here, hasn't even been here a month, and she's already blowing things up, she's setting things on fire.
I haven't even started with my outdoor projects yet.
I know, it's just going to be great. You got to record the reaction.
I haven't even started the whole thing where I go out and spray paint armor on my porch. Yeah. I haven't gotten there yet. That's coming. The armor thing is coming once I either get my hands on spandex or vinyl, one of the two, when my budget recovers, incidentally. Now that I've dropped money on some kind of necessary electronics. Let's see. I'm thankful for these that I won this past year, because I don't do this really for the competition, but it is kind of nice to be recognized for my work. So I am actually really grateful that I won something at a competition.
I'd be thankful for the same thing, but they still haven't mailed mine yet.
They haven't mailed mine either, and I never heard back.
I haven't heard back either, which is kind of, I mean, I don't want to go into rant mode. They did this last year, too. Last year, they were a little quicker. I'll just leave it at that. But I am thankful. I won Best in Show, and I have nothing to show for it. Yay!
See, I am thankful that I did not have any catastrophic costume failures this year.
I'm thankful that I have yet again not sewn through my fingers. My machine was threatening me, but it has yet to happen.
I am thankful that so far I have not found any pins in my floor with my feet.
Oh, I almost did that the other day. I need to get different color heads on my pins. Man, the light's not working.
Well, see, now that I have this kind of beige-looking carpet, the white is easier to see than it was in my old apartment. Mm. But I also have the pins with, I have the quilter's pins with the colored heads. So as long as I use my quilting pins, then I don't have any trouble finding them. It's when I use the standard, like, nail head pins that I lose those real quick.
I'm thankful that I only had to dye one wig this year versus the five I had to do last year.
I am thankful for my new position at work that gave me a raise that will help to finance better quality components for my cosplay hobby, because I'm getting really tired of fixing my cosplay every year.
I am thankful that I only have $1,200 left in one of my student loans, and I get to pay it off at the end of December, and that means more money to do cosplay stuff.
I am thankful to have found a person as zany as me to help co-host this podcast.
We can't be sane or normal to do something like this.
And zany, because it takes zany people to do this. But yep. I am thankful.
Aww. And I'm thankful for you for coming up with this crazy-ass idea that seems to be working really, really well. And even if nobody's watching, I'm still having fun with it. So, hey.
It is fun, I admit. This is tons of fun. And I get to do things that I wouldn't normally do, like sit there and heat form armor. So, I'm also grateful to Project Akon for inviting me back for 4 years? 5 years? Something
Yay.
Like that. To come and teach panels again. And this was before I even offered to teach anything. They actually contacted me first.
See?
So I'm really grateful to Project Akon for asking me back. And I already do know what panels I'm teaching next year. It's just, I have to get around to sitting there and writing them out.
And making it all happen.
Yeah, because, well, one of the panels I've taught before, but now I have a lot more in-depth knowledge about it, so I can teach it better. And the other panel, I've never taught it before, any of it. So that will be fun. And there's another zany person who's going to co-host that one with me, too.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I got it. I don't know. I'll make my schedule work somehow so I can actually get to it and watch it, because that's going to be fun.
Yeah, I think we're going to thoroughly enjoy ourselves.
Absolutely.
Oh, I'm thankful for our canon.
Yeah.
I am so thankful that we got such a great deal on that, because, oh my god, is it an amazing piece of technology.
It's a pretty camera.
It is a pretty camera, and I will be more thankful when I can somehow get the material off of it so that I can use it.
I will be thankful when I find my wires to help you out with that. My boss, I have no idea where they are.
Nobody uses tapes for anything anymore. No. Except me, because that was all I had access to that day. So all of our info, in fact, we may end up using it for the next episode, all of our info is on a DV tape that I can't get anything off of it because I don't have any FireWire ports on my computer.
Whoops.
I'm thankful for ancient technology that still works and does exactly what I need it to do.
Yay.
Including my phone. Oh, I am thankful for anime, manga, video games, and movies that give us multiple perspectives of a character that we're trying to do a costume of.
Oh, gosh. Well, video games kind of cheat now, since you can pull up almost anything. If not online, you can actually hack into the game and
exactly
get everything that you need. So
you didn't
cheat.
You didn't used to be able to do that, though, and that's why I'm thankful.
I know.
They're really getting better about this. And the way that the internet has exploded, especially with YouTube, now you can just go and research to your heart's content, and it's making cosplay more accurate.
On that note, I am thankful to all the anime and manga that use only one or two colors on a character, not 50 different shades of blue to determine what the heck my costume is going to look like. But you only stick to one or two shades of one color. I really appreciate that.
As opposed to 50 shades of gray?
Oh, I was thinking 50 shades of blue. You have no idea how much blue I had to go through for a Sailor Mercury costume, because there is no one right shade.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
I hate that. Sucked so bad.
I had multiple shades of blue for my Umi costume, so.
Ugh.
Well acquainted, ma'am.
Why do they do that? Why do they do that?
I don't know, but at least we have great characters to choose from.
True.
It could be worse. So for all of these things, we are thankful. Some more things, more thankful
than others.
To some degree, we are thankful for all of these things. And I will continue to not burn down my apartment.
Yay! Oh, one last thankful thing. I have to be thankful to Radcast for getting our asses hooked up throughout this past year and being uber awesome, cool people. And we might actually be hosting a panel with them at AllCon, so yay!
Actually, we should probably end with a shout-out to all of our listeners, guests, convention runners, staff.
Crazy-ass people who've dealt with us in the past year.
Yeah, we're thankful to the people who watch us, who listen to us, who have written in to us, who have helped us out, who have been willing to sit down and do interviews with us, who have been willing to share their talent with us, to those who have allowed us into their conventions and let us run around being press, to those who have let us teach at their conventions and record at their conventions, and to those fellow podcasters who have given us advice and helped us out to launch this podcast. We are definitely thankful for all of you guys. Otherwise, we're just two talking heads, so thank you.
Yay! That's the sound of the day. Yay!
Speaking of being thankful, this holiday season has been really rough for a lot of people, you know, given all of the things that are going on in the world, and I'm not going to get political with this, but... Not too sappy, because these are actually game-related things, but
yeah.
If you do find yourself with a little bit of spare cash this holiday season and you feel inclined to donate, especially to charity, we have two charities that we are promoting this season that are specifically, you know, gaming-related or specifically children-related. And the first is Children's Miracle Network. And I know that I have worked with them in the past as an employee of a company that was really involved in Children's Miracle Network. But basically, it's a national organization with a bunch of local chapters that uses their funds to improve medical facilities and to help fund research for life-saving treatments for children. And it's a very worthy cause, and we wholeheartedly support if you would like to donate to them. And the link for that is on our homepage. And the second charity you may have heard of through PAX or Penny Arcade or any of the D&D live games is called Child's Play. And that is a charity that uses their funds to bring gaming, you know, not just console, but, you know, tabletop or, you know, just the regular games you used to play as a kid, the box games. They bring these games to kids who are hospitalized for long periods of time to help kind of brighten up their day. And that is also a really awesome thing that we fully support. And that information is also on our homepage. So if you find that you are inclined to wish to donate, check out our homepage, which is just cospod.org. And we have information and links on where you can go and give to these charities. Also, speaking of donations, our bills are coming due. And well played, well played. And for those who know me in real life or even online, I hate asking for money. I really don't.
Yeah.
This is why the show is not, you know, wholly sponsored by anybody. We are not sponsored by ads. We're not sponsored by companies, corporations. We are self-funded because I hate asking other people for money.
And it's the same with all the materials that we use for our segments. We pay for them out of our own pockets.
They're usually our own stuff. Our own tools, our own fabrics, our own abodes, our own, you know, electricity we're using for this. I mean, we do all of this ourselves. At the same time, our domain renewal for costpod.org for our website came due 2 weeks sooner than I had anticipated this year. And unfortunately, it fell during a really economic tight time of year, because I'm sure you all can appreciate this. The holiday season, you end up just spending more money than normal. I mean, whether on gifts, on travel, whatever. Economics are tight. So I am swallowing my pride because I hate asking for money. But for the sake of the podcast, I am willing to do this. We have opened up a PayPal account that is specifically for paying our domain renewal.
Nothing else, we swear.
That is the only thing it will be used for. It will not be used to finance the podcast in any other way. The funds will not personally come to us at all. It actually stays in that account. We cannot withdraw the funds. All we can do is use them to pay the bill. So that way you know we're not misusing the money. Incidentally, our domain renewal, the complete cost for all of the different pieces of our domain renewal is $132.86.
Howie.
So we're being upfront. This is how much it costs to run our web domain, because we felt it prudent to invest in good quality hosting for our website. So if you find yourself inclined to donate to help us pay for our web domain renewal, like all of the other things on our homepage, there is a link to the PayPal site where you can send funds. And the address that you would send it to the account is simply our email address, which is podcast@costpod.org. And we will gratefully accept any amount that you wish to give us. All of it, like I said, is going toward our web domain renewal only. If for some reason we happen to actually meet our goal of $136.86, it will either roll over to the next year's renewal, because like I said, that's all this is being used for, or we will refund the extra funds back to you. We will handle any fees.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're not going to sit there and deduct fees from any refund. An important thing to note is that if you do donate to us, it is not tax deductible. Unfortunately, we are not a special nonprofit organization. We don't qualify as tax deductible. So if you happen to donate to us, you can't actually, you know, knock it off your tax bill.
Sorry.
But lastly, and not to discourage any giving, that's not the point of why I'm about to say this, but this is so that you guys understand, the podcast is not going to stop if we don't make our goal. You know, we're still going to keep doing this. I mean, we can afford the domain renewal for CostPod. This is mostly just to kind of help defray the costs a little so it doesn't hit us so hard, especially during this time of year, especially because you've got school loans. I'm about to have another school loan payment.
Right.
You know, the holidays are here. We're traveling a lot more.
I'm hoping my little Christmas present to myself, which is paying off my bill, can stay that way for just until December. That would make me happy, so, you know.
Yeah, so more or less, we're just asking for a little help to pay the bill.
Right.
And, of course, anybody who donates, we will publicly thank you if you wish it. If you want to remain anonymous, that's okay, too. And if we can find some other way to thank you, we will do so. We just don't want to make it seem like we're, you know, selling gifts or selling contest entries for your money, because that's not what we're trying to do.
No.
We would genuinely be trying to thank you, you know, outside of any potential other benefits that the podcast gives. So, you know, like I said, if you're inclined, check out our homepage, and we've got the information there, both for our website domain donations and for both charities. So with that somber note, We should end on something funny.
Because we look at the contest thing we got to talk about too. Because we need entries.
We can do that. That's
there
funny.
We go. See?
That's well. It's cute. It's funny
it's
in a cute way.
It's not supposed to be funny.
Well, it's funny in a good way. So, why don't you? Since you're the one running the Facebook,
I am the face place master.
Yes. Why don't you talk a little bit about the contest?
So if you haven't been to our Facebook yet, and here's going to be the lovely link, whee! If you click on the image, it'll give you all the rules and details. Basically, we're looking for a new banner for our website as well as our Facebook. And it can be anything as long as it's cosplay-related and it has CosPod in there. We're open to any and all ideas. I've made suggestions like, you know, cook up a bento box and take a picture of that. That could be really kind of cool and funny. It does have a certain set of specifications, like the image has to be 851 by 315 pixels, because that's what the Facebook image is, and that's dumb. Why it's that? She's laughing at me because it's a stupid size requirement.
I agree, and it's not the only one that has kind of a crazy size requirement as far as our social media goes.
Yeah, Twitter's like that too. Twitter's really funny. And it has to be in JPEG format, but really, it's the ball's in your court. Whatever, however crazy or creative you want to be, we would love to see it. All you need to do is submit your entry to us through email at podcast@cospod.org. You can also post it to Facebook and just link it back to us. That's cool, too. And we're having also a contest within the contest. If you share that image, when we run the contest and we finish it up, we're going to pick one of the people that shared it for a small little prize. And it could be anything like you're going to get a free yard of fabric from us. You might get a $10 gift card from Epic Cosplay, whatever the case may be. We'll find something fun for you.
And note that the prize will be random. It's not that we're specifically picking a prize for you. It's that we will like take an index card and write all the prizes on it and tear it up and stick it in a hat and draw one.
Yeah, exactly. It might be something like you might get one of Amber's Kanzashi Christmas trees, or you might get one of my hairpins. It's going to be the random grab bag of something.
Yeah. Now, granted, we will probably not give Kanzashi to a guy.
Hey, so, some guys want one.
Well, if they ask for it, that's okay. But what I was trying to say is that, you know, if it's a gender-specific gift, we will obviously try and work with that. If a guy wants to wear the Kanzashi, which are hair ornaments for those who don't know, more power to him.
Maybe he wants to give it to his girlfriend.
That I could see.
See?
I'm just, the guy wouldn't wear it himself.
See, that's why the guys entered my contest, my Facebook likes.
That works.
So yeah, you can find all the info. I'm going to post a picture up here right now. There's the contest info. Oh, so pretty. And then you can also find more information on our Facebook page. Link here again.
And the deadline?
Deadline is going to be 12/12/12. That is really easy to remember. We'll announce our winners before the 24th, so it'll be a nice Christmas present to everybody.
Yep, and we will have more Christmas stuff coming up as far as cosplay goes, because we have a Christmas TMCC meet coming up, so yay!
Hey, we've almost been on for a year, lady. We got to do something. We're slowly getting to that point, I know.
We'll need to have some sort of extravaganza, because I wrote down when we... I wrote down when we released our first episode on my calendar.
We'll be.
In fact, I've written down every single episode release on our calendar.
It'll be party time.
In fact, now that I think about it, it's on our website. Because I put the dates next to the podcast page.
Like I said, we're coming up pretty quickly. Watch as Amber and I both go to our website, because neither of us can really remember.
January 14th was episode 1.
We're pretty close.
We've got a whole page worth of podcasts now.
Yay! When is the 14th? The 14th is on a Monday. Well, that's poop.
This coming year?
Yeah.
Because we will have hit a year when we hit episode 27.
Right.
This 26 is a year. So let's see. Calendar on the wall. Let's see. So today is the 24th.
Right.
So episode 24 is on the 1st. 25 is on the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
26 is on the 29th. Which means 27 will be on the 12th.
12th. So that'll work.
So it will be basically the same weekend.
Yeah.
That we did it the first time.
Because, you know, calendars aren't the same every single year.
And in fact, that will be 2 weeks before Mini-Acon.
Yeah.
So we'll have to do some sort of blowout extravaganza that weekend.
Party at Amber's place.
There's not really much room in here to party. Especially since, that's something I forgot to say I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for being a single person with a separate living room in her apartment to use as a craft studio because, oh my God, I love having all this space to craft in.
Show off.
I use my space.
I got my little corner.
I had to clean up this morning, too, because I kind of made a mess. It wasn't my fault. I like to spread out. And on that note, I think we will call it an episode. So we will see you in episode 25, Cowspotters, if I haven't burned down my apartment yet.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
We'll call a fire marshal next time.
Thank you.